Welcome. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. It is our prayer that through this message, you are encouraged and inspired to become all that God has called you to be. For more information on our church and upcoming events, please visit our website at votacoma.org.
Ephesians 11 verse 1 says this, "In him we are also chosen." Some translation says, "In him we are also called, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." See, God calls us to serve in a way that is consistent with how he made us. Most people take that scripture and talk about predestination and how God already called everyone and there's only a select few that are going to go to heaven. That's not what that scripture means. It talks about God already predestined who you would be, and he's calling you according to a purpose. And there's a reason why you exist and something you're supposed to do. God calls us to serve him in a way that is consistent with how he made us. And understand this morning that there is purpose and calling on your life. Proverbs 25 says this, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." There are many of you, you have a sense of purpose in your heart. But because you're unaware what the next step is, you're stuck. But this morning, the Bible tells us that the one who has assistance draws them out. And you and I, we don't need assistance from Facebook. We don't need assistance from these self-help books. We don't need assistance from this whole movement that says, better your life, live your best life now. What we need is assistance from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide us so that we can find out the purposes that live deep down within our heart. God created you with greatness. This is why inside you feel like you want to do something. Things, but fear experiences have a way of drawing us back. I remember when I felt the call of God upon my life. I was a young man. I walked into the church broken, 19 years old. Already had moved out, already experienced a lot. I didn't know, but all I knew that God had touched my life. All I knew that God was real, he was living, and he was active in my spirit. And the more that I read the Bible, the more I heard messages like this that spoke to me about purpose and calling, I felt like my life had meaning, and I didn't know how to step in. But thank God for people that spoke life into me and taught me and guided me so that I can be the man that I am today. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." See, when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit and you have a relationship with God, and your relationship with God will come from reading the Word, will come from prayer. When you have a relationship with God, the Bible says that God who works in you to will and to act. In other words, when you are in relationship to God, God will urge you to have a will to do his work and to act according to what he's called you to. And when you act according to what he's called you to, guess what? Your feet has security. And you know that even though you don't know the next step, that when you step into what God has for you, you're safe because you're in his will. We have to seek God because it's God who works in us. It's God who will define our purpose. Let me read Proverbs 19:21 to you. The Bible says that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. See, this morning, if you're called and you're living a life anything other than what God intended, you're going to feel empty. God has called you with purpose. It's his purposes that will prevail. But the good news is this, that the purposes of God for your life will bring meaning and fulfillment. Are you with me? Someone say amen. All right. Help me out this morning. Talk to me. See, most people have a sense of calling. Why? Because it's how God created us. Did you know that even unbelievers, hear me now, there's like a big movement And there is a lot of unbelievers, companies, they have a sense of calling that there is something specific they ought to be doing with their lives. This is why you have so many people that they go into college and they have one degree and this is what they want to do, but somewhere in their life it's not fulfilling, so they change their majors. Or they go from job to job, diving into careers, trying to find fulfillment, only to find that when you're chasing wealth and you're chasing position and you're not stepping into what God has for you, all you're doing is running in circles, or you're like on a spiritual treadmill. You're moving, but you're not going anywhere. See, calling by definition is this. It's a strong urge towards a particular way of life or career. That's Merriman's definition of calling. It's a strong urge toward a particular way of life or calling. See, that definition is limited because it was defined by human wisdom. So most people, they pursue callings. They pursue careers. They pursue anything that will give them a fulfillment of life. But to a believer, calling is defined as God's personal invitation for me to work on His agenda, using the talents I have been given in a way that is eternally significant. In other words, when we speak about the calling of God, it's God's personal invitation extended to you to fulfill His purpose. And know this, that your purpose is a part of His big plan. If you belong to this church, there is a purpose why you're coming. There are gifts inside of you that you're supposed to use. And when we all work together for the good, God is able to do greater things than we ever thought possible. You know, my heart was encouraged because I think it was Thursday. I seen a group of people. My wife had left and I was like, "Sister, where are you? It's 10:30. Husbands, you ever been there before? My wife, if you know her, she's a go-getter. She's mission-minded. When she sets out to want to do something, she's going to get it done. So her and Sister C and a few of the guys, Brother Richard, Brother Ryan, the men's home, they were all here. And I was like, "You guys are still at the church working?" And somebody texted me, "Pastor, you got to get down here and see the progress." And how many were able to go to the little coffee area? Amen. Isn't that beautiful? That area was a result of people working together and utilizing their gifts to enhance the kingdom of God. I showed up, people were working together. People were laughing. People were doing things that I didn't even know they knew how to do. Why? Because there was gifts that they were released to do for God's honor and God's glory. See, the word calling is a God term. And look at what Scripture says about calling. 1 Timothy 1:9, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His purpose and His grace." Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." When God calls you by name, He calls you according to a purpose. Come on, somebody say amen. You got it. I hope somebody's going to catch it this morning. See, I get excited about this because it was a message very similar like this. Like I mentioned, I was sitting in the pews, and I'll never forget, I was sitting there. And I used to come to church with expectation. I had this faith where, "God, I know You're going to speak to me." I would prepare my heart the night before. I wouldn't stay out all night. I would go to sleep early because I knew in the morning I was going to hear from God. I had dedicated my Sundays to the Lord, and I said, "God, I need You to speak to me." And I came to the church, and I remember sitting there. And I'll never forget, Pastor Steve was preaching about one day people from this group are going to be raised up. God was going to impart His Spirit into them and send them all over the world. At that time, I lived in Hayward, California. Little did I know that there was a city all the way in Washington. But why I came to church, I wanted more of God. I listened for the call. And one day, like an ordinary Sunday morning like this, I heard God call me by name. And I heard Him say, "You're called to be a pastor. You're called to preach the word of God. You're called to mend broken lives. You're called to speak life." And I was all tore up at the time. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. When I heard that, I think I was still smoking weed. I know it's like okay in this state, but don't be doing that. Come on, somebody.
Some of y'all, come on, somebody. It starts with weeding before you know it. You're like gone for like 18 days. Come on. Let me come back, though. So there I was in a church service like this, and all I could feel was I just wanted to jump out of my skin. See, but I was listening for the call of God on my life. I didn't just come to service as a ritual. I came because I knew God had called me. And some of you this morning, God's calling you. That feeling that you have to get to church, that feeling that you have when the word is coming forth and you just feel like jumping out, it's because God's drawing you close. To be called means I know what I am doing is what God wants me to do. And the Bible says quite a bit on the subject of calling. But you understand, I have to understand this about calling. Calling is twofold. Number one, first God calls us to himself. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. Our first calling is to have a relationship with the Lord. This is why he came from heaven to earth and he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. So there would be no barriers. Understand this. There is no shame. There is no condemnation in Christ. So there are some of you, your past binds you. Your past holds you in a prison. I got good news for you. There is no condemnation in Christ. When you come and you give your life to God and you're serious about following him, listen, the old things pass away and all things become new. It wasn't until I understood that principle right there, that all things passed away and all things were come new. It was that principle which gave me the confidence to step into what God had for me, because I had all kinds of complexes. When I came to church, I couldn't read. So I used to think, how in the world am I going to preach the gospel? I can barely comprehend. I never passed the reading and writing proficiency test in school. I didn't know how to read. I would struggle. And then people were telling me you were called. But guess what? When I picked up the Bible, for whatever reason, some way, somehow, God gave me insight. Some way, somehow, comprehension came. Some way, somehow, when I started applying the principles of the Bible to my life, I had confidence to do things I had never done before. But it wasn't until I understood that God had called me in a relationship with him. And listen to me, if I'm his son, that means I got benefits from the Father. Number two, the second thing you have to understand about the twofold calling, God calls us to do a work as part of God's plan. When you look at Jeremiah, the character, prophet of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, God tells him, before you were born, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God had a specific job for Jeremiah to do. And all throughout the Bible, we find that God called people to do specific things. Moses was called to deliver God's people out of Egypt. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. David was called to slay a giant named Goliath and later be Israel's king. Paul was called to be an apostle and missionary, and God would later use him to write 3/4 of the entire New Testament. This morning, what has he called you to do? Because it's clear that God has something for your life. And like we read earlier, we have been called according to his purpose. And the Bible makes it perfectly clear that we are called to do something for him. Look at the person next to you and say, what are you called to do? And if you don't know, say, I don't have a clue. Now look at the other person and say, that's why I'm here. Come on now. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the philosophers in Athens, and he made it very clear that God had a specific plan for everyone's life. Listen to this scripture, Acts 17:26. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. Scripture makes it perfectly clear that God has you living in this time in history for a specific reason, and he set a boundary for your life. There is a reason why you exist. There is a reason you have the gift that you have.
There is a reason why you came during this season of the church. Now, I want to break or debunk some myths when it comes to the calling of God. Because when I would listen to the call of God, I used to think, surely they're not talking about me. Wave at me if you've ever been there. Right? Because sometimes it's like, surely they're not, I mean, it's not me. That, I used to think that. They would talk about the calling of God and purpose. Yeah, I believe there was something, there was a reason why I existed. But calling, I said, surely God can't use me. But I want to break some myths this morning so that you understand the concept of calling. Myth number one, are you ready? One of the biggest myths about calling is this. Myth number one, the calling of God is for a rare few. Wave at me if you've thought like that. Well, I want to debunk that because we're all called by God. Where people get mistaken is they think, well, I know I'm not called to preach. I know I'm not called to teach. I definitely know I'm not called to pastor. Then they cancel themselves out because in their minds, they're like, well, if I'm not called to do any of those things, then I'm not called. The truth is, not everyone is called to governmental ministry. When I talk about governmental ministry, I'm talking about those that are called to govern the church. So this is a key understanding because not everyone is called to the governmental ministry. Ephesians 4:11 even tells us that. The Bible says, and he gave some as apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service. Those who have been called to govern the church, their main calling is to equip God's people for works of service. Therefore, if you're not called to governmental ministry, you're still called to be a part of the body of Christ. You're still called to some service unto the Lord. Why? Because there are things that you have that can offer and alter someone's destiny. Because you have a great smile, because you have a great personality, because you know how to encourage, because you know how to love on people when everyone else gives up on them, because of that quality in your life, people can come to the knowledge of God's love. You don't believe me? Romans 12, 4, 6. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. That's some heavy stuff. Because we form the body of Christ. This church, the walls, that's not the church. We're the church. How many know we can lose this building and we'll still congregate? Come on now. We are called and we all have different gifts. The key is this, that you use your gifts for God's honor and God's glory. So I hate to tell you, but the calling of God is not for a select few. For some of you, God's called you to be a great role model. For some of you, God's called you to be the best children's church teacher there ever was. God might call you to just be a parent. And maybe you yourself aren't going to do the governmental ministry, but because you modeled what it was to grab a hold of God, your children might be called to the governmental ministry. My mom was simply a praying mom. And she prayed for her children. And it was out of that that I learned faithfulness. See, some of you are called to pray. Some of you are called to play instruments. Some of you are called to simply lift your voice. And through that, God will get glory. The calling of God is not all big. It's not all about doing. It's not all about a platform. For some of you, you're called to be a person in the background that brings stability to the entire organization. For some of you, you're called to be admins in the church. You're called to, when we finally get an office, you're going to be a part of the administrative team. You might even be called to the accounting once we get things going. You might be called to run the men's home. You might be called to work with the women's home. You might be called to do greater things than you ever thought possible, or you might be called to do something in the background that will make an eternal difference. The men that discipled me were not the greatest communicators. They weren't. But they were men that loved God and loved people.
And because they love people and they love me unconditionally, I was able to endure everything I went through. And even when I thought I was disqualified, these men who were called to simply encourage my life made a significant impact on my eternity and in my family's life. It was their encouragement that kept me in times when I wanted to run. Look at the person next to you and say, step into what God has for you. Now ask them one more thing. Say, what gifts do you have? It got quiet. Come on, somebody. Myth number two. Second myth is that the call of God is like some mystery. And I have found that when I start talking about the call of God, people tend to think that the call of God is like a hidden treasure. Truth is, God wants us to use our gifts and passions for His glory. And people tend to think that the call of God is mysterious, but when the reality is, your calling is normally connected to your passion and your gifting. So the very thing that you love to do, God's called you to do that for His glory. Maybe you're called to, maybe you have the gift to work with your hands and you're great with construction. You know that everything that we've been able to do is because men used their gifts for God's house. And when you start to use your gift for God's house, God can do greater things than you ever thought possible. The truth is, the calling of God is not a mystery. You just have to have ears to hear and be willing to respond. Most people, they have selective hearing when it comes to the call of God. Oh, he didn't call me. And I'll be ending shortly. Number three. And this one I used to think. But the third myth is this. People tend to think, I can't have a career if I'm not called. This generation thinks, well, that's why they don't want to get close to their leaders. They don't want to step into what God has for them because they think they're going to have to step away. Understand this about careers. Careers are not a bad thing. Some people think if they answer the call of God, they're going to have to quit their job. The truth is, not everyone is called to the governmental ministry. This is what you have to understand. If you've been called to govern the church, God might call you to leave your job. But if you've been called to that, God will already prepare your heart so that you can step into what He has for you, and He'll give you the gift of faith so that you know He'll provide for you. You got a lot of people that stay away from the leadership because they're afraid. And prior to coming to pastoring, I learned that God would give me favor. So any job that I ever went to, I did it with all my heart and I kept getting promoted. I told myself, I'm going to make a lot of money. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. Where I came from, we didn't have. Come on, somebody. So I said, when I get a job, I'm going to keep getting promoted. I'm going to do things I've never done before. And I'm going to keep getting promoted and making more money until God calls me. But this was the key. I knew I was called to governmental ministry. I knew that one day I was going to leave it all. And I had prepared my life as such. So when I heard the call of God, it wasn't hard to let go of my house. It wasn't hard to quit my job because I knew God had called me to the ministry. But understand this, if you're not called to the ministry, God will call you to be a witness in the marketplace. He'll call you to do great work with excellence so that people will give God glory. And guess what? If you have a career and God hasn't called you to the governmental ministry, guess what? You have this thing that you can attain called favor, and God will elevate you so that people will identify that there's something different about you. This was the case with Joseph. Pharaoh, the jailer, they noticed there was something different about that man. And as a result, God elevated him. See, the Bible has a lot to speak about calling connected to work. And most verses have nothing to do with full-time ministry. And what is interesting is that the Bible verses refer to calling. Normally, He calls somebody in the marketplace. Look it up. Because He calls people to be jewelry cutters, nurse the sick, shepherd, build roads, and even play music. And the reality is, God still calls individuals to all types of careers today. He calls us to be nurses, construction worker, consultants, drivers, sales associates, service. He calls us into full-time parenting.
God still calls people today, because in order for a church to be functional, in order for the body of Christ to be full, people who have different gifts have to step into what God has for them, because though we're one body, we have many parts and not all have the same function. See, the common denominator of the one who's called to be a banker, or the one that's called to construction, as to the one that's called to run the men's home or to be the pastor, this is the common denominator. It's the one who called us by name and gave us purpose. Even the disciples had a career before they were called, and little did they know that their careers would prepare them for what God would have them do later. And I will say this, that your career may very well propel you into your future. And I feel led to say this. Some of you just settled for having a job and a paycheck. Don't settle. You serve a big God. You have a God that will give you favor. I'll give you a testimony. When I came in, I'll never forget, one of the gang girls, they worked at a bank. Many of you knew I worked for the bank for like 15 years. And I'll never forget, she said, are you still looking for a job? I was working in the church full time, making $50 a week. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and I was praying. I said, God, I want a job, but I don't even know where to start. But I was good with people. And then she said, I told my boss about you. She wants to interview. I didn't even have to jump through hoops. I went to the interview. I talked about leadership. I talked about accountability. I talked about what I learned in the church and how I apply it towards people. And guess what? 2 weeks later, they gave me the same job offer that they gave to the man that had just graduated San Francisco State University with a bachelor's. Was I special? Absolutely not. I had simply attained favor from the Lord because I was walking in His steps. So I got good news for you. If you're walking in the steps of God, if you are doing what you're supposed to do, God will elevate you and you can find a job that would give you meaning and purpose. See, don't settle. And I don't care. I don't care if you have a felony in your background. I don't care if you have things that are on your record. Listen, you serve a big God that can erase any record. You serve a big God that can whisper into the boss's ear. You serve a big God that can give you ideas to run your own company. You serve a God that is able to give you instruction on how to start your own business. I'm teaching my kids now, baby, you can do anything. It's a matter of perspective, understanding. You got to know that you can't settle for just any job. Some of you have been at your job and you hate it. I don't know why I'm going there, but I feel like I need to go. Some of you hate the people at your job. You hate your boss. You're forced to smile. They talk to you crazy. They talk to you like you have no value. And you just settle because of the pressure to pay bills. Because there's no financial peace in your life, you're stuck with just being at the same job. First of all, learn what the Bible says about finances so you can manage. Secondly, learn to honor God with your wealth. And thirdly, pursue your passion and ask God to open a door. Listen, when I jumped into the bank, I was good with people. I loved working with people. I loved leadership. So what did I do? I got a leadership role. I became a manager. I worked. I inspired people to hit their goals. I talked to people about how they can become better. That's what God had called me to do. And the best part about it, I got paid for it. Some of you got the gifts, you got the goods, but it's time for you to step into your destiny, because if the Bible says that everything's been decided long ago, and it was known what each person would be, and there's no use for you fighting with your destiny, guess what? When you go to apply for the job that you're supposed to have, not even the boss, not even the one who's a part of the curriculum or the whole the credits, and they can't tell you no, because God's already called you. Somebody take that and run. Come on, somebody. Don't quit tomorrow. Use wisdom. I promise I'm ending. I'm going to give you one last point. God will use your career and job experience to in some way, somehow, have you help build the kingdom. Let me explain. In Exodus 31, God calls a name by the name of Bezalel. And listen to who Bezalel was.
Exodus 31, verse 2. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skill to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. God called this man to make artistic designs, cut stones and wood, and engage in all kinds of craft. For what? In building God's temple. God simply called this man, gave him gifts. He was an ordinary man that was great, and he excelled in what God had gave him. And God called him to benefit the church, benefit the temple. See, understand this. The difference between career and calling is the difference between mission and activity. When you're just doing a job that you're not supposed to do, all it is activity. And when you do activity, you don't feel like you're progressing, you don't like it. But when you've been called, you have a mission. So therefore, when you know that you're called, even though you're stuck at a job you don't like, you know it's okay because God has called you. You have your sights set on the future. And I might not like what I'm doing right now, but God already promised me greatness. So therefore, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve. I'm going to work as I was working under the Lord. And I'm going to wait for Him to open the door. Because when we come to the grips that God has called us, when we come to grips of the idea of living a life of meaning, we understand that it's only a matter of time before God speaks. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working unto the Lord, not for human masters. Some of you got to look at work different. You got to approach work and do it as if you're doing unto the Lord. Don't do the minimum. Please, if you're a believer, don't claim to be a Christian if you're the last one to show up and the first one to leave. Because it makes us look bad. Yeah. I would hate that. I was a manager. And I would hate that. There were people, I swear, they wanted to nickel and dime you for everything. They would come and then I would find out you're a Christian. And me being a pastor, I'm a manager, so I gotta watch what I do. But I'm like, I had to pull a few people aside. I'm like, brother, you say you're a Christian, but you profess it to everyone, but you're cussing like a sailor and you're gossiping about everyone in the office. What do you think that does to the name of Christ? I'm telling people I'm a believer too, and God forbid this is how we live. People who do the minimum never get promoted. They're the ones that complain and talk about the one that gets promoted. But I'm talking about if you're a Christian, like the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, for whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And when you work unto the Lord, listen, there ain't no boss that can tell you anything because you're doing it for God anyways. Brother Alec makes his way. We are all called. We're all called to do something specific. To be called, you simply have to know and believe in God. But secondly, to be called, you have to listen. You have to listen for when He speaks. The truth is, He's still calling people to Himself. Can you hear? This is why I say it's so important to be spiritual, because the Bible says those that are unspiritual cannot discern spiritual things. So if you're in the flesh, you're not reading, you're not praying, and you're not focused in, this is why if you even come to church and you don't prepare your heart, you can miss what God has for your life. I end with this. I remember being in a service, and the pastor read this scripture. Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. It was in a service like this that I heard that scripture. And I felt the Lord call me to the ministry. See, what gave me encouragement was what it said after. When you pass through the waters,
I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God. When the call went out to become the pastor of Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma, I had a lot of fears. And the Lord reminded me, as I said yes, He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. And there are some of you are afraid of the call of God on your life. But God tells you this morning that I am with you, that nothing will, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And what you're called to do, I will pave the way.